The Defense Department is creating dozens of teams to protect its computer networks and go after bad guys. But like so many initiatives, the cuts from sequestration threaten these teams in several ways. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller is here with details on where the Cyber Command is heading and what could get in its way. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom and Emily.
All right, sounds like General Alexander is very busy. What about all of these teams? What's he doing there for DOD?
Sure. So this is building on what we heard about a month and a half, maybe 2 months ago, where DOD, the Cyber Command, was hiring about 900 people to continue to fill out its organization. If you remember, the Cyber Command's only about a year old, really, to full operating capability, so it's still growing. So we heard yesterday more details about how many of those 900 employees will be used. General Keith Alexander is the commander of the U.S. Cyber Command.
We are already developing the teams that we need, the tactics, the techniques, procedures, and the doctrine for how these teams would be employed, with a focus on defending the nation in cyberspace. I would like to be clear that this team, this Defend the Nation team, is not a defensive team. This is an offensive team that the Defense Department would use to defend the nation if it were attacked in cyberspace. 13 of the teams that we're creating are for that mission set alone. We're also creating 27 teams that would support combatant commands in their planning process for offensive cyber capabilities. And then we have a series of teams that would defend our networks in cyberspace. Those three sets of teams are the core construct for what we're working with on the services to develop our cyber cadre.
So Alexander says the Cyber Command will have one-third of these teams set up by September 30th, two-thirds by September 30th, 2014, and all of them in place by September 30th, 2015. So it's going to be a long time before everyone gets in place. And part of the reason is, I think, twofold. Number one, it's hard to find and train these employees. There's a shortage of, obviously, skilled cyber workers. The other part is budget related. Now, even though it's going to be more than 2.5 years until these teams are in place, and in the short term, they are going to have an impact in protecting DOD's networks. Alexander and General Robert Keeler testified yesterday before the Senate Armed Services Committee as part of its oversight over Cyber Command and U.S. Strategic Command. Now, Alexander says he's already working with the combatant commanders on the command and control setup.
We have done a lot of work on that, and we've ironed out how the joint cyber centers at each combatant command would work with Cyber Command and how we push information back and forth and how we'd have operational control and direct support of teams operating in their area. More to do in this as the teams come online. One of the key things that we have to address is situational awareness. How do you see an attack in cyberspace? Today, seeing that attack is almost impossible for the Defense Department. Specifically, an attack on Wall Street would probably not be seen by us. It's going to be seen by the private sector first. And that's a key need for information sharing. It has to be real time to the Defense Department, Department of Homeland Security, and the FBI, all at the same time, one government team.
Now, you heard General Alexander talk about real-time information sharing, and that's part of the reason when he made this case yesterday at the hearing, again, why Congress needs to pass comprehensive cybersecurity legislation. Now, basically, it needs to include two things. Number one, the process to make real-time information sharing happen, but secondly, the liability protections for Internet service providers and other companies. And in fact, General Alexander did an excellent job explaining why this liability protection is important and how it could work. I would tell you, this is probably one of the best explanations I've heard in covering this over the last year and a half or so.
So what did he say on that regard?
So basically he said there's two things. Number one is if the government shares information to the ISP and the ISP takes an action, let's say it blocks some traffic based on a signature that the government provides, and when they block that traffic, it's a false positive, for lack of a better word. And then the Internet service provider gets blamed, gets sued for taking that action. They need some protection because they acted on good faith. So that's one thing. The other thing they did was, if, again, they share information to the government and the government does something and then takes some action, you know, and then tells the industry at large to take action, they would have some liability protection in case if something, again, went wrong, they got sued, they caused damage that was, something that they didn't do on purpose. So it was just the way he presented it, I thought, was really clear and something that you don't hear a lot. You hear all of this discussion about liability protection, but not broken down in the way he did it.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. Now, there's this big salami slicer called sequestration backing up to their backside there. How is this going to affect this initiative that the general laid out?
I think you're absolutely right. It's like one big salami slicer that everyone's walking into. And DOD has been very vocal about the effect of sequestration on its forces. Now, at the hearing yesterday, both Alexander and Keeler continued to bang DOD's drum. Alexander says the ongoing budget crisis will impact the Cyber Command in two main ways.
The continuing resolution holds us to the FY12 budget. But as you now know, we're standing up all these teams in FY13, and the funding for that was in the FY13 budget. So that's about 25% of our budget right now is held up. That's significant. And one-third of our workforce are Air Force civilians, and they are going to be impacted by this furlough. And when you think about it, here are the folks that we're asking to do this tremendous job, and we're now going to furlough many of those. And that's the wrong message to send people we want to stay in the military acting in these career fields.
Now, the Strategic Command is also facing the same budget pressures. General Keeler would have to furlough about 60% of its civilian workforce who provide intelligence, maintenance, and sustainment services.
They represent the expertise that and the experience that we do not have in the uniformed force. And so in a place like Strategic Command, in a place like Cyber Command, in the place like the nuclear enterprise, where our senior civilians really represent most of the experience that's left in these types of highly technical, highly complicated places. Certainly in the space part of our business, we have some senior civilians who are in very important parts of the DoD space organizations. So my concern with the sequestration begins with the intentional and then the unintentional, intangible impacts that we might see on our workforce. Yeah. And it is the uncertainty that goes with that that concerns me the most.
So Keeler says that the threat of furloughs also could impact recruitment and how they retain these cybersecurity and other key employees, especially because, as he says, you know, many employees who come to work for DOD in civilian roles take pay cuts to come to the government. If you add another 20% on top of that already pay cut, the concern is they're either A, not going to come, or B, they're going to leave altogether. And it says the military has already been under, you know, several layers of stress over the last decade, and now furloughs and budget problems is just one more to add to the top of it all.
And Jason, what did lawmakers say in response to those budget concerns? Because they have voiced support for funding cybersecurity, for funding the Defense Department overall in these recent negotiations.
The lawmakers are pretty quiet. I mean, they seem to ask, just they wanted to know questions. They didn't shake a stick and jump up and down. I think the most interesting thing came from Senator Tim Kaine from Virginia, who got into more of a detailed discussion around why the furloughs are going to hurt and what could impact them. And then the questions around retainment and recruitment of people, that came from several. But I think most of the members of the committee, the Senate Armed Services Committee, really were in a listening mode rather than a, you know, oversight mode, meaning they weren't attacking or asking really tough questions. They were trying to learn.
And Jason, it seems perhaps maybe the members were looking at this whole cyber effort as maybe a bargain. I mean, look at some of the figures here. Here they're hearing that 900 people will be deployed in what I'm counting is about 50 teams based on your story. So each team is, what, 35, 40, 45 people at the most. And at the same time, there's a GAO report about the F-35 that's $400 billion, and it's not going to be useful for five more years if they're lucky. So it may be that cyber is a great bargain.
I think that they are.
Oh, and I was going to say also, you have Clapper coming out and saying the biggest threat right now is cyber. So yeah. It all kind of adds up.
Well, I think that one of the things that many of the members of this Armed Services Committee, and I think more at large members of Congress, both House and Senate, they're really starting to understand that the impact that the technology not only is having, I mean, we've known that for decades, but the cybersecurity challenges that the agencies face, that the in critical infrastructure face, you know, how to go about that is tough. They did talk about the executive order quite a bit that the White House signed. So there's definitely a learning curve is shortened. I think they get a better understanding that something's got to be done. So I think they do see it not only as a bargain, but also as a critical piece to the protecting the nation.
Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller. Jason, thanks as always.
Thank you.